that we think that we are the best singers in our own minds. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Open up your Bibles this morning to the book of Hosea. I know Hosea is one of those little books, but it's right after Daniel. Amen. So if you get to Daniel, just scroll a few more and you will be there. Glory to God. Amen. Hosea 11, a sermon entitled, Come Back to Me. Here it is, Israel. Israel had and was God's chosen people. Imagine what God does to Hosea. God makes Hosea marry a street person, prostitute, whatever you want to call her. God marries her to be able to show you and I the relationship that God's people had towards him. See, through time, there have been many that have been saved or delivered. But today, folks, they are away from God. As we get ready to read this text, listen, the one of the worst things that I've seen in my time of being saved is we had just gotten out of a Saturday night scene, their concert. We're trying to gather up a fellowship. One of the guys there in Killeen, he had gotten radically saved. He had gotten miraculously saved. He goes out he says, I want to bring something to the fellowship. We're like, okay, just bring a dessert. Listen, from where the church was on 10th their Avenue C, he was going to go about from here to Pikes Peak right here, just northbound. Wasn't a long way. It wasn't very far. But he says, I'm just simply going to go out and buy a dessert. He gets to the H-E-B. We called it the ghetto H-E-B because it was in downtown Killeen. He gets there. As he's going through, he's getting ready to check out. And lo and behold, a lady that he had met 5 years before in Germany. We're talking Germany. Germany is out there in Europe somewhere. Amen. He's in Killeen, Texas. She's there. They had talked, 5 years prior. She tells him, I still remember you. Do you remember me? He never made it to the fellowship, folks. He never made it there. Amen. Later tells us that, listen, this was a man that was radically saved. We're talking about where he's saying, I thank God that he touched my life. And I thank God. And listen, you saw, how many know that you can tell when somebody gets radically saved? He goes to the H-E-B. We don't see him again. He doesn't make it to the fellowship. He doesn't make it to the house. He's MIA. And in a sense, he was KIA. Here in our text, we're going to read This is God speaking to you and I, folks. And he is telling you and I that if you are MIA this morning, would you come back? Our text says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. And they called them, they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to the carved image. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arm, but they did not know that I had healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. And I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. He shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king, because they refuse to repent, and the sword shall slash in his cities, devour his districts, and consume them because of their own counsels. My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zebulun? My heart churns with me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. Verse 10, they shall walk after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, then his sons shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like the birds from Egypt, like the dove from the land of Assyria. And I will let them dwell in their homes, says the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing. Help us, God, to never wander away. We come to you this morning, Father, asking, God, that your mercies, your grace would continue to be upon our lives. Be with us, Father, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Here it is, the works of God. In verses 1 and 4, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called up my son. In verse 4, I drew them with the gentle cords, with the bands of love. And I was with them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. This morning, amen, before God, amen, before God called them out of slavery, before Israel was a nation, listen to me, folks, God loved them. Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrated his own love towards us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loved you and I before you and I ever showed any love towards him. In verse 4, God says he took off the yoke of bondage this morning, just as he did for you and I. He called you and I, amen, out of slavery. He took our sins away, amen. He took the guilt. He took the yoke. He took the bondage, amen. And now, because of everything that God did, you and I are free, and not only free, but free indeed. With the blood of Jesus Christ, God bought your freedom. If you are saved today, can I tell you, folks, if you are saved this morning, then you are free. You are free. Verses 3 and 4, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know me. that I that but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. Folks, this morning, amen, he says that he taught you and I to be able to go in the way that we should go. He taught you and I to walk. He led, amen, he led them through these hard and difficult times that they found themselves in. Can I tell you, amen, when the people of God were there before a surmountable and unsurmountable, amen, obstacle as the Red Sea, God led them. When they were there and they were there hungry, God fed them. When they were there and they needed something to drink, God gave them something to drink. Amen. Can I tell you, folks? Amen. God led them through all and everything that they found themselves in. Just as when he saved you and I, he began to raise you and I up. Today, God is still working to bring you and I, listen to me, he is working, amen, there's nothing that you and I have done. He is working to, amen, bring you and I closer and closer and closer unto him. God's goal is that you and I would, amen, be there as close to him as he is to you and I. His desire is that you would know one thing, and that is the fullness of his love. See, God's, amen, love is not something he is or does. It's what he is. It's not, amen, something that he has or does. It is what he is. God is love. God's desire is that you and I would want to have that relationship with him as he has with you and I. You know, I still remember when I told my wife and when I first saw her. Can I tell you, when my eyes twinkled when I saw my wife? Amen. Listen to me. Amen. When my eyes twinkled when I saw my wife, that's how God's eyes twinkle when he sees you. You know, there's a joke there in Killeen that I've been gone for so long, but they still tell me. You remember this? I was preaching a Sunday school. I was teaching a Sunday school one day, and I'm there. And if you know the Killeen Church is about, amen, 1.5 times, maybe 2 times bigger than this church here. And my wife is coming out from right to left, and as she's, or from left to right, and as she's coming, amen, I'm there, and as I look up, I just see my wife walking this way to her seat. I stopped and I just followed her. Can I tell you, that's how God follows you. That's how God looks to you. When he sees you, folks, he stops and he looks at you and says, I love him. I love her. See, God's desire, folks, is that the same relationship that he has with you that you would have with him. So how did Israel, amen, respond? In verse 2, as they called them, so they went from them. They sacrificed to the Baals and burned incense to the carved images. They responded the same way, folks, that many of Christians respond today. They went back into the world. They went back, amen, as soon as they heard the voice of the world calling them, They went right back into it. They started doing the same things the world was doing. They started chasing the same other gods. Amen. How many times have you and I seen Christians, amen, getting pulled back into the world? They hear the voice and they go running back. Their lives are lost once again because, amen, now instead of living for God, amen, they are chasing the things of the world. They hear these voices and they go back. There's no difference, amen, from them now to anybody else. In verse 3, it tells us, I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. See, in other words, they ignored God, folks. They were so entangled with the things of the world that they had, in a sense, forgotten what God had done for them. They stopped acknowledging God. They were too busy now sacrificing their lives, their things, and everything else to Baal and other false gods. They had forgotten it, and now, in a sense, had no recollection of who God was anymore. Just like many of them, we can say, Pastor, that was a long time ago. But just like many of them, amen, there are many Christians today that God has no relevance in their lives anymore. They've forgotten. They have no recollection. They're too busy. They stopped acknowledging God. Soon after they were delivered, listen, folks, when I said that testimony, it broke my heart, and it breaks my heart every single time I have to say it. God had delivered and healed and set them free, but yet they forgot, and they moved on to something else. Let me ask you a question this morning. Today, what do you recollect? Today, do you know what Jesus has done for you? Or have you just like them? See, we can say them, but let's bring it close to us, folks. Have we forgotten what God has done for you and I? Verse 5, he shall not return to the land of Egypt, but the Assyrians shall be his king because they have refused to repent. See, they refused to get right. How many times has God, amen, told you and I, repent, remember, get right? But even though they knew what was right, they refused to do it. They shook their fist, amen, to God as a sign of defiance. God, I'm not going to do it. See, it didn't matter anymore, folks. Because knowing what to do but not doing it is useless. See, today, folks, many Christians are living their lives away from what God's intention and intended for their lives. How many know that inside of us there is a light that comes on? We know what's right, but now you dim the light and you don't care. We don't care. There are people all over the world, folks, that light is flashing. Danger. Danger. See, there's a sign on the freeway. I don't know if they have it here, but in Texas, they have signs that say, turn around, don't drown. Do they have them here? They have these signs, turn around, don't drown. But yet people still continue to go through, thinking that they're going to make it. I was there in a firsthand. Listen, if you live long enough, you'll see everything, or most things. Amen. There was an instance where that sign. Listen, folks. If an arm, amen, falls down over the street, it's probably trying to tell you, don't come through it. Well, this guy in a small little compact car. The water is rushing so powerfully, folks, that as this, it was just about there, about a mile from the church. We're going through and we stop and off to the right of the road. You see a man that had gotten off and now is climbing, has climbed onto the top of the car, and he's there. Help me. Help me. Listen, folks, the warnings are there. Turn around, don't drown. But I think I can make it. I think I can go through. And we see the consequences of those actions. See, in verse 7, my people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none of them exalt Him. See, people go through the motions of talking about God, of calling out to God, but now they have no honor, no worship, no praise, nothing. All it is a lip service to God, folks. See, this morning, all over the world, there are many Christians that are doing the exact same things. Their lives speak louder than the words. It's all a bunch of lip service. It's like, it makes them feel good to talk about God. They're backslidden. God says, they're not right. When you are backslidden, listen to me, folks. You are not in the fold anymore. You're away from the things of God. God says they're not right in their minds. They were said to go, listen, when you are backslidden, you are said to go against everything that God wants for our lives. Turn right. Just because you told me, God, to turn right, I'm going left. You told me to go straight, I'm turning around. You told me to do this, listen, I'm going to do everything, God, in the contrary of what you have told me. They're set to go against everything that God wants for them. Could it be said this morning that you are here in church, but in your minds, you're in that same situation? But see, in the midst of us not being right, can I tell you, in the midst of us not being right, God shows you and I His heart. See, what does God do, when the people are backslidden? He says these words, I cannot give you up. He says, I cannot hand you over. I cannot and will not destroy you. In a sense, folks, God's heart is broken. Verse 9, I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. Can I tell you, folks, you better be glad that he is not man. Because how many of us, listen, how many of us have been wronged? And even though you can say, Pastor, I've forgiven, it's still there in the back of our hearts. And all it takes is just that one thing. And oh, I remember that. I remember. See, God is not man. He doesn't remember what you've done. He says, I've thrown them as far as the east is to the west. I've laid them and I've thrown them down to the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. See, he is God and not man, folks. And you and I better be glad of that. You and I better not be glad, or you and I better be glad that he doesn't react the way you and I would. Amen? Because, can I tell you something, folks? I don't know how you react, but he already knows. You ain't never gonna do that to me. How dare you? I thank God for his grace and mercy. And I thank God that God will roar. See, can I tell you, my wife will tell you that I'm fascinated with lions. When a lion roars, he roars for several reasons. But one of the roars that he roars for is to be able to call those that he is protecting over to come and be under the safety and security of his, amen, area. In other words, when the lion roars, you can come on out of hiding. When the lion roars, you can come out, amen, and know that one of the things that the lion is there to do is he is, amen, there to be a defender of those that are under his pride. See, the lion, amen, roars, God will roar, he will fight for you and I. Hebrews, amen, 12. Hebrews 12, 4 through 11. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastising of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son who he receives. If you endure chastising, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? If you are without chastising, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and We paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirit and of spirit and life and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he for our profit that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastising seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Can I tell you? My dad made sure that we were chastened. Amen. But can I tell you? God does the same because he's trying to get our attention. God loves you and I, and he wants what's best for us, folks. If you are backslidden this morning, God is roaring to try to wake you up. He wants your heart, amen, to be linked or synced with his heart. So what is the answer this morning? Do two things. Repent and confess. Repent and confess of where you are. Can I tell you, folks, we know where we are. We just need to be able to get right. God is not there. He's not going to put the pressure. You better do it. You better do it. You better do it. He's waiting for you and I to repent. When you repent, you decide that I'm not going to anymore go this way. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go away from where I was going. And I'm going to go back towards God. I know where I was headed. I know where my direction was taking me. I know where and what I was doing. I'm no longer going to do it. I'm going to turn back towards God. Tell God. Can I tell you? It's not like we're telling God something that he already doesn't know. He just wants you to admit where you are. Pull away from those things that pulled you away from God. Do one thing. Commit yourself. Commit yourself seriously. Don't just say it, but do it. And God, when you come with an honest heart, folks, can I tell you something? God will give you and I the strength. In your weakness, the Word of God says that you shall be made strong. I'm coming to a close. Be sincere. We need to ask God one thing. God, take me from this mess that I've made myself in. You know, I don't think I've ever had jambalaya. But it's a bunch of whole lot of things that are just mixed together, amen, that makes it delicious. Can I tell you, when you and I make a mess and we get all these different things and it doesn't taste delicious, it tastes nasty. It tastes disgusting. Because that's what you and I find ourselves in, folks. See, we need to ask God, God, help me out of the mess that I find myself in today. You know what God does? He stretches out his right hand and he picks you up, folks. He picks me up. Can I tell you? I got to preach to me before I come and bring the message to you. So when I am in a big mess, I got to cry out to God, God, help me. And God in his faithfulness, folks, picks me up. And he not only picks me up, he cleans us, he cleanses me. He puts me on a solid ground. He takes care of me. And he washes me, folks. He does everything for me. See, this morning, if you come with a sincere heart, you can be forgiven. God, this morning, is doing one thing. He's offering you another opportunity. Would you take his hand or would you slap it away? That's something that you and I have to decide this morning. Because God's hand is always going to be stretched out again and again and again and again and again and again. And you and I this morning, we can take that hand. We can take that hand. And we can take advantage of another opportunity. And now begin to apply it onto our lives. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen. Oh, God, we thank you. You're here this morning. As God is knocking at your heart, Bible says that he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. You have looked. And this morning, God is so patiently knocking at your door, folks. Would you allow Jesus the right to be in your life? If that is you this morning, you're away. You've never given Jesus an opportunity. You're here this morning. You have not given Jesus that opportunity. Would you do something? It would be our great pleasure to pray with you for you to receive Christ into your life. If that's you this morning, you've never given Jesus an opportunity. I've heard about Jesus. Pastor, but I've never opened up that door. Let me in. I want to dine with you. And I want you to dine with me. Would you do that this morning? Would you just be honest this morning? You've never given Jesus an opportunity. Would you lift your hand? All I want to do is pray with you. I want to pray with you. Let Jesus come into your life. Let me change the order of this call. Maybe you're a backslider. You're a backslider. You turned away from God. And now this morning, you have found yourself in a mess. You have found yourself stuck. Wonderful thing about our Lord, folks, is that even in the mess that you have made for yourself, Jesus has never forgotten about you. You're a backslider this morning and you want to come home. Would you simply do one thing? Would you lift up your hand? I want to pray with you. Lift it up. Backslider, come back home. Come home this morning, backslider. God sees that hand. Anybody else? Do we have any more on his hearts this morning? God is speaking to you. Amen. You can bring that hand down. God is speaking to you this morning. Would you come home? The Bible says that God left the 99 and he went after that wayward one. That's you this morning. You are backslidden in your heart. You've forgotten about the things that God has done for you. I'm not going to have you spill out or spew out anything. All I want to do is pray with you and for you. Anybody else here this morning? You want to come? Come. Amen. Lift it up quickly. I'm not going to hold this any longer. Amen. Would you come? Jesse, would you come and pray with him? Church, let me speak to you. Can you and I hear the roar of God, to know that we are safe? We are safe. There's no better place for you and I to ever be in than in the fold where God has placed you and I at, in the will of God, in the destiny of God, in the plans that God has for you and I. Jesus desires one thing. Nothing else, folks. One thing. That you and I would commit ourselves unto him. Maybe God spoke to you throughout the message. Maybe God spoke to you through the testimonies I gave. Will we commit ourselves fully to God and say, God, I'm in it to win it. I'm not going to pull myself away. God, you've been too good to me. I'm going to commit myself to you. Maybe God spoke to you throughout the service. Amen. Would you come lay hold of God this morning? Would you come and lay hold of God this morning? Hallelujah. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God. Come, lay hold of God this morning. Let Jesus help you and I. Let Jesus speak to you and I. Let Jesus touch you and I. Let the healing balm of God be there upon you and I, folks. Because we need Jesus. We need the Lord.